Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. I see we have some visitors today. You're welcome, and we appreciate having you here today. I just want to say that this is the third matter on our oral argument calendar. We had have completed the first two and are ready for the last one. I will ask the marshal to call that case.
Calling case 822-1341, State of Minnesota respondent versus Benjamin Woodrow West, appellant.
All right, and we have the lawyers here and present ready to begin. I'll make just a few quick remarks. I know you're familiar with our proceedings, but I just want to remind you of a couple of things. First of all, before you start your remarks, if you would please identify yourself as well as the client that you represent. Today's proceedings are recorded, and we make that recording available on the court's website later, so it helps us to have our record nice and clear. And then you'll notice a couple of things I think may already be familiar with it. So at the podium, that's adjustable. It goes up and down. Take a few minutes and make yourself comfortable so that we can have our conversation before you start your remarks. And then I'll ask you to keep an eye on the clock. Each side has 15 minutes, and then, of course, appellant has a five-minute rebuttal if you choose, and that time will be available to you on the podium, and you just want to keep your eye on it because it tends to go quickly once we ask questions. So with that, counsel for appellant, you can begin when you're ready.
Good morning. My name is Leah Graff, and I represent the appellant in this matter, Benjamin West. The parties agree that at minimum, West is entitled to a reversal and remand for resentencing, and so that the district court can vacate his second-degree burglary conviction as an included offense. Of the remaining disputed issues, I'd like to focus on West's sufficiency claim. This claim boils down to whether the state proved beyond a reasonable doubt that some part of West's body entered the complaining witness's residence when he kicked down a door to that residence. West asks this court to apply its straightforward interpretation of the burglary statute in State versus Rodriguez to the facts of this case and conclude that the evidence was insufficient. The evidence was insufficient because the state failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that West committed the predicate offense of criminal damage to property while in DT's residence. Both burglary counts for which he was found guilty required the jury to find that he committed this offense while in the residence. The law is clear that to prove West committed the criminal damage offense while in DT's residence, the state...
So the statutory language is while in the building, right?
Correct. Okay. That is the statutory language. And this court has interpreted that to mean that... the element requires proof beyond a reasonable doubt that at least part of the defendant's body was in the building at the time of the predicate offense.
All right, so where does the building begin?
Well, I think that is clear from Rodriguez and the cases that Rodriguez relies on in terms of the application. Also, State versus Nelson, State versus Munger, those cases deal with the entry element, but this court has defined them essentially in the same way.
Meaning, because you're not disputing the entry element here.
Right, correct. Right. Subsequently, eventually there is an entry, and the way that the case is charged, you know, they sort of are compressed a bit, but in essence, Rodriguez relies on Nelson, which addresses entry, and some other unpublished cases of this court. And in every single one of those cases, the question is entry through, you know, a window, through a screen, steps inside the building. I think Nelson is particularly helpful on this point because in that case there were some facts about prying open a screen, but the facts that were emphasized in terms of showing there was an entry was that he had stepped inside. There were footprints inside the building.
So it's your position that just by opening the screen door and standing on the threshold to kick open the inner door, that that's not an entry legally?
Correct. That's not an entry, and for our purposes,
while
he wasn't in the building at that point.
Okay.
And I think that...
But the... it seems like Rodriguez at least says that the damage to property can be part of actually the sequence of getting into the building.
Correct.
So it doesn't have to be once they're actually physically in that it can be in obtaining entry.
Correct.
The damage to property is a predicate offense.
I agree with you on the first part of that statement, which is it can be simultaneous.
Okay.
And I think Rodriguez sort of says that that's fine. But there does have to be a physical entry. And in Rodriguez, they said the physical entry was your finger through the door. And Rodriguez doesn't involve two separate doors, right? Rodriguez, it was the finger was through the door that allowed sort of simultaneously the entry. Here we don't have simultaneous or sufficient proof of simultaneous entry.
A reasonable inference, though, that with the level of force used to break the door frame on the handle side, at least, that his foot would have gone into the building?
It may be a reasonable inference, but under the circumstantial evidence test that applies here, it is not the only reasonable inference. And I would...
Is it reasonable to think that with that level of force, that some portion of his body would not have been inside the threshold of the home?
And I would emphasize the circumstance, a couple of the circumstances proved on these unique facts, which are that we have video evidence showing that the kick doesn't propel him forward into the residence, sort of that simultaneous.
That just from the, it was, and I'm sorry for not knowing this, but in what we had, or at least what I found between all the different places we're supposed to look for the record, it was just, we saw a body cam video of the surveillance video of him outside.
Yes.
And is that the video that was?
That was the only video evidence submitted, and that is the video that shows that his entire body is outside.
Well, but that, okay, all right.
And that...
That's your take on it, or...
Correct.
Right, okay.
Right. He's standing outside of a locked door to the building.
Right.
His body remains outside, and the foot that delivers the kick returns can be seen underneath, returning to the ground outside of the building. So if there were facts where he had sort of shouldered the door, if he had kicked and fallen into the building, you'd have sort of that.
He didn't have to fall in. His foot just had to be in for a second, or part of his foot, right?
Correct.
Rodriguez is a finger, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But there is no evidence, and again, sort of pairing the video evidence with the fact that when the complaining witness who was standing inside was asked, how do you know he kicked down the door? Her response was that the door came in. The state never even asked
He's
a question.
Standing behind the door. So how, I mean, I, okay, all right, continue on. It's just whether it's a reasonable, an alternative reasonable hypothesis that he actually kicked in the door, injuring the frame, but no part of his body ever entered into the premises.
Correct.
And that's what you're arguing.
That is the argument
that's reasonable.
On these facts, with this video evidence and with the absence of any testimony from the complaining witness about, and even a question from the state, frankly, about where his body was during the kick, that that's insufficient evidence. And, you know, this isn't sort of a tricky issue. This was the state's theory of liability. The state prosecuted the offense this way, selected criminal damage to property as the predicate offense, argued to the jury, I think improperly, that his foot was in the residence when he delivered the kick in closing, but then didn't ask that question of the witness and didn't otherwise elicit proof of that particular issue,
so
which was necessary.
So both attorneys here seem to be arguing that the circumstantial evidence standard of review applies, and I would just like you to articulate exactly why, given that there was direct evidence regarding his entry. You know, there's the video, there was the testimony of the individual on the other side of the door. Why are we required to rely on that standard of review? What's the element that was proven purely with circumstantial evidence?
The element that was proven with circumstantial evidence in this case is that a body part, or the elemental fact, is the body part, is whether a body part entered the premises. And I think the respondent's brief sort of agrees that because of the way the video is, there isn't any conclusive bit of video or photographic or testimony that says.
If I can just clarify for yes. a brief second, I think you're referring to the part where with the angle of the surveillance camera, the screen door, it's not a screen door, it's a storm door, right?
Blocks.
Storm door opens up and it partially blocks.
Right.
So for instance, we can't see the Mr. West's foot, but
Correct.
We can see Mr. West charging at the door.
He
I mean, maybe you don't
enters.
Like my word charging, but he is
eventually
going
he enters. So there is direct evidence of the unlawful entry. That's not the issue. The reason that the circumstantial evidence test applies is because there is no evidence that directly shows without inference that elemental fact that his foot entered the residence.
So it's about the portion of the burglary element that requires the state to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he was in.
Right, that the criminal damage to property happened while he was in the building. That was the state's theory, and that's the element at issue, yes.
I guess I'm still stuck on that, though, because it seems to me that there is no reasonable inference that Mr. West's foot did not cross the threshold. So I want to go back to my earlier question of where does the building begin, right? Doesn't it begin at the threshold? And everything we do see in the direct evidence, so the video, is that Mr. West's foot crossed the threshold.
Well,
you may say it came back, that he stood back on the ground later, but it definitely crossed the threshold.
Well, I don't think that there's...
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah. So I think I want to start with the is your question geared toward whether it's direct or circumstantial?
You can answer whichever way you'd like.
Okay.
I mean, there is direct evidence in the videotape that his foot hit the actual door, right? Because the storm door is open, so we know it's going into that. And we all know how a door is constructed. There are photos of this particular doorway
Correct.
In the record, also direct
Correct.
Evidence, right?
Correct. Okay. I think that the issue is that it's getting to the question of the threshold, and I think this is something that the state has argued that Rodriguez says, but what Rodriguez says is it must enter the premises. And so the question is the space between a locked door and a storm door, does that constitute the premises, or is that inside, are you inside the building? And I would submit that that is not the case. The state's rule, if you want to follow that line and read Rodriguez that way, which I don't think you should, is to say that somebody who is standing outside of a locked door to a building or enters that threshold outside of a locked door has in fact entered the premises. This means if your neighbor comes...
So if it was an open door, it would have been different?
If it were completely ajar, I think then it would be different.
Okay, well,
perhaps.
Let's talk about screens then, because we do have that, don't we, in Rodriguez and perhaps another case. We had the finger going through the screen, making the hole bigger, right?
And
what if the finger had actually used some type of a razor or other equipment to then go to a locked window and cut an opening in that window, and then the hand goes in and entry? Because our case law suggests that it was the finger making the screen bigger that is the defendant committing criminal damage to property within the building.
And I think that was true in Rodriguez because there's nothing in Rodriguez about any other door that prevented access to the premises. The door, and the court uses the definite article, the door. That is what the defendant entered into the premises. And I don't think that a rule, again, this would lead to somebody committing a first degree burglary standing outside of a locked door to a building and yelling.
But he's not standing. He's kicking the door and crossing the threshold.
Right. And again, I believe that that's clear evidence of the unconsented to entry. The question is, there was one predicate offense. It was criminal damage to property. That criminal damage to property occurred only based on the delivery of a kick to the door. The state did not ask a witness, where Mr. West's body was when that happened. And the video shows his body outside of the building and the kicking foot returning to the ground outside the building. I agree that these are unique facts, and in many other situations, as Rodriguez and the cases therein show, it is much easier for the state to prove that the criminal damage to property occurred while in the building. You've said, if it's just a finger, that's fine. You've rejected the argument that it has to be the whole body.
What if it's a toe? I mean, is a toe enough?
I think under Rodriguez it would be, and
And your argument is that it's unreasonable, or rather, it is reasonable to infer from what we have that no part of his foot crossed that threshold.
Yes, I think there are a couple of ways to sort of kick down or bust into a door, and one of them is to sort of boot the door. I think the complaint actually describes it as booting the door. And I think the amount of force used actually supports the idea that the door, you know, blows back into the house. But again, crucially, when the victim is asked, how did you know he kicked in the door? It's that the door came in. There is nothing in her testimony about the foot, and the state doesn't follow up ever with that question. So it's a straightforward application of Rodriguez about whether some part of his body enters the premises. And on these facts, the state, number one, didn't provide direct evidence of that particular elemental fact, and number two, the circumstances do not preclude a reasonable inference that he boots the door, steps further back and walks in, and that his body didn't cross into the residence until after the criminal damage to property had occurred.
Anything else from the panel? It looks like you've got a break until your 5-minute rebuttal.
Thank you,
counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Lidia Villalba-Lijo. I'm an assistant attorney general representing the respondent state of Minnesota. It is undisputed that on about 1:30 a.m. on a Minnesota December morning, DT told appellant that he could not come into her home. There is no dispute that appellant held open the storm door. He counted to three, and he kicked open the locked interior door, as shown in trial exhibit number 5. And further, there's no dispute that appellant damaged the interior door. The question here is whether any part of appellant's body was inside of DT's home when he caused the damage to the door. And the answer is yes. The most direct way for this court to resolve whether appellant committed the criminal damage to property while in the home is to focus on what happened at the locked interior door. Appellant's foot intruded into the home when he kicked open the door, and the inward dents that were made by appellant's foot and which are visible in trial exhibit number 2 demonstrate that. They are evidence.
Is it the state's position that there's direct evidence that you can tell in the video that the foot is beyond the threshold?
Well, the state's position is clearly we're advocating for the direct evidence standard of review. There's the video, which is trial exhibit number 5, but there's also trial exhibit number 2, which is a photograph of the door clearly showing dents to the door. And DTs also testified at trial that those dents were not present before appellant kicked the door.
But isn't an inference required from those pieces of evidence in order to determine whether the foot entered the home?
Your Honor, there's a very slight inference required given all of this evidence.
It doesn't matter whether it's a slight inference or major inference in our decision as to which standard.
I would say that it does not matter in this case, and here is why. I guess two factors. One is that DT made it very clear to appellant, her ex-boyfriend, she was not going to open the door, he was not to come inside, he was not welcome inside. But second, juries in Minnesota are instructed that they are not to abandon their common sense and their common life experience. And I think when you put all of these strong pieces of evidence together and you apply your common sense, there's really only one inference here, and that one reasonable inference, and that's that part of appellant's foot, at least part of his foot, crossed the threshold when it kicked that locked interior door. It's also very possible that when he kicked the door, more than just part of his foot entered, because it's, again, sort of common experience that one's leg extends during a kick and then retracts. So, but I would
also... So, counsel, what do we do with the scenario that appellant's lawyer made for us, which is that this is a booting of the door, which I think is describing the use of the foot so that it's flat and that it just is hitting the door. The damage that you describe in the exhibit is evident, but it isn't dramatic. I mean, I for whatever reason, I've seen doors that are more badly dented than in that photograph, all right? So is that a booting of the door, and is that really a crossing of the threshold, or is it simply a foot that's staying basically outside the building?
That is clearly crossing the threshold. Those dents are inward directed dents, so it may be considered, it may be described as a slight entry. However, I would direct the court to Rodriguez. I mean, that is a very slight entry. A finger into an already created hole in a screen door. And we all know from common experience how very thin screens are. That was sufficient to support an entry for a burglary.
Is the difference there, though, that in Rodriguez, the finger itself is once it you know, goes through the screen, is in the building, where here we still have the locked door. So it's not enough for, I think I understand Appellant's argument, it's not enough for that foot, Mr. West's foot, to come on the threshold, onto the threshold, right, that it actually has to cross the threshold, because we have a locked door. That's really the boundary for the building. And you know.
Well, Your Honor, that's interesting. I guess that leads to the state's additional argument, which was here. So the state's argument is that the boundary or the plane of the home, I guess there's different ways to describe it. The plane of the home, the boundary, or the threshold. So the state's argument here is that the threshold or the boundary point between the outside and the inside is the outside of that storm door.
But as appellant's counsel pointed out, that could be a really problematic rule. I mean, that would potentially expand the offense of burglary, you know, pretty immensely. I can think of a hypothetical where someone, you know, with an open storm door assault someone on the porch. I mean, is that enough for a burglary? Do we want to go there?
I think so. That would be an open storm door, open or unlocked?
Open storm door, closed door, not in the house, but
on the porch.
On the porch at the threshold. Yeah.
I think
under the rule you're advocating, even if you've got a locked door. Right. If there's an open storm door and some offense occurs there, it would constitute a burglary.
We have that case. And there is an unpublished, or I should say non-precedential case, State versus Hicks, 2009. That defendant or that appellant entered onto a porch of a home, of an occupied dwelling. It seems from the opinion that the door was unlocked. Appellant gets onto the porch, and he is on the porch, and he is looking for a piece of paper that he can use as toilet paper. And this court determined that that was a burglary.
Was it an open porch?
Do you mean like an unscreened porch? The decision doesn't state that clearly.
I mean, because here, at least based on my viewing of the video, there was no porch. I mean, there was an entrance with an open storm door. So that does seem to be a little distinguishable from a scenario where there's a porch.
Well, I understand Your Honor's concern. I don't think that it is different in, this case is different in the sense that the facts don't seem to have been decided the way that they are presented here, where you have a storm door immediately followed by a locked interior door. Hicks, I think, provides some analogy there. But I would have to go back to the Rodriguez, Munger, and Nelson line of cases, where those cases represent entries that can be deemed or described accurately as slight entries and brief entries. In Rodriguez and in Munger, you have Rodriguez, as we've discussed, is the finger in the screen. Again, I'd have to emphasize the very thin nature of a screen and how very slight of an entry that is, and that was sufficient. This court found that the entry and the damage to property were simultaneous. Munger is similar, but with a different entry point. The entry point there is an open window of a ground level apartment. Mr. Munger reached his hand through the window to move aside the curtain to commit a crime that most of his body was outside to commit. That was a burglary. With Nelson, you have a very brief entry, which is what you have here. Nelson entered the window, put his foot through the window and set it down. I think it was on the top of a desk, heard an alarm, immediately takes off. Well, his burglary was complete. So even though he did not remain in the building, it was a completed entry. This case, Mr. West's case, falls right in that line of cases. Are there any further questions?
I guess I'll just follow up with one, and you've read the cases perhaps even more thoroughly than I have. Munger and Nelson emphasize entry, right? The entry element. Rodriguez definitely focused on whether the criminal damaged property was within the building.
Yes, Munger is a guilty plea case. I have it with me.
I'm not trying to do a pop quiz.
I just want to be helpful.
Yep.
So, but Munger, I mean, all of those cases discuss the entry and the while in the building aspect of it. Rodriguez is the most on point, and I think also the most recent. But Munger's helpful. Nelson's helpful. Let's see.
And tell us your view of the prosecutorial misconduct issue that's been raised by appellant.
So appellant is arguing that the prosecutor committed misconduct in closing argument by arguing facts that were not in evidence. But it's very clear that the prosecutor's argument was based on facts and evidence. It was also a very brief argument that Mr. West's foot had gone inside the home during the kick. That's actually consistent with That's exactly what we're arguing here today. And so that was something for the jury to consider and to decide.
Right, and you know, you've alluded, it seems like the arguments overlap, and I'm sure counsel for appellant will correct me if I'm wrong about this. But what I noted in your brief, and maybe I misunderstood it, is that it seemed to me that you were acknowledging that the prosecutor's closing argument was appropriate because of the reasonable inferences that the prosecutor was making from the evidence in the case that Mr. West's foot was inside the building. So that seemed to suggest to me that your earlier argument that we could rely on direct evidence perhaps wasn't exactly as I first understood it to be, and that we do need to, your position would suggest that this court does need to apply the circumstantial evidence test.
Well, you make a good point, Your Honor. When I wrote the argument about reasonable inferences, what I had in mind was reasonable inferences in the context of a closing argument and what the prosecutor could permissibly argue. I did not have in mind the circumstantial evidence standard of review, so I'll have to take a note on that and keep that in mind going forward. But again, we do advocate for the direct evidence standard of review. I think the dents that are evident on the door that did not exist before Mr. West kicked the door are very strong evidence, not just of the kick, but the inward-facing nature of those dents establishes that even if it was a slight entry, it was an entry across the threshold. And, of course, the evidence establishes very clearly that entering that home was exactly what Mr. West intended to do. He wanted to get inside that home. He ignored DT's statements that he was not permitted inside. They were no longer in any type of relationship. And that was precisely what he intended to do and accomplished.
Thank you, Your Honor. I want to respond to a couple of things that respondent raised. First of all, evidence in the photographic exhibits of dents would still be circumstantial evidence of the elemental fact of whether his body entered the premises. So I think we're squarely within that that standard of review for this court to apply here. The court should not adopt what I'm going to refer to as sort of the storm door rule for the reasons touched on in terms of the expansive liability. I just want to note that it wouldn't be confined to, you know, a porch. It would just be anything outside of a door. It would essentially be a rule that somebody is in a premises despite the fact that they are outside of a locked door to that premises. And I think that that is far too expansive of the burglary statute, which is really rooted in some fundamental way in trespass. And so the other thing I wanted to note about Rodriguez, excuse me, and Munger and Nelson is that all of those cases, to the extent they apply a standard of review, are direct evidence cases. In Nelson, the fact section includes that Nelson told a co-defendant that he had just stepped in when the alarm went off. So we have the defendant admitting to the co-defendant who testified against him, I stepped in. That's direct evidence that he put his body inside the building. The same with Rodriguez. The facts are, I would say, on the thinner side, but they do include the fact that he put his finger through the hole in the screen and made the hole larger in order to gain entry. Munger's not a sufficiency case, but again, in that case, we have direct evidence because the complaining witness saw him reach his arm through the window. So I think that both in terms of the facts and in terms of the applicable standard of review that was utilized by those courts makes this case entirely different.
In fact, in your review of the cases, is this case sort of an outlier in the burglary realm?
I would say it is an outlier in the burglary realm, given the
just simply the standard of review that applies because of the nature of the state's proof here. And that includes, you know, the state not asking the question that it's essentially needed to ask to be able to tell the jury at the end of the case, this is where his body was. And I want to be clear that the argument is not that this entry was so slight or so, you know, of such a small part of his body that it was the evidence is therefore insufficient. The argument is not that he didn't know he was not welcome because of what DT told him. Those are not the claims that West is bringing to this court. He is asking you to simply apply the rule in Rodriguez that says a finger is enough to say that here the state didn't even prove, in this case, the toe. And because it failed to prove that particular element with proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Counsel, the proof is different in this case, certainly, than it was in Rodriguez. But would you address the argument that Respondent's Counsel made about the combination of the video, which shows the force that Mr. West applied to the door, plus the dents in the door, plus the state of the door frame, which wasn't mentioned by Respondent's Counsel, but I think is mentioned in the briefing in this case, is the door frame itself is splintered, right?
Correct.
And so that... If you'd address that, whether you want to call it circumstantial evidence or direct, doesn't matter to me.
Yes.
I just want you to address it.
Right. I think that that evidence is solid proof of the criminal damage to property, that the video is solid proof that he eventually makes an unconsented to entry into the residence. But in addition to those elements, the state had to prove, based on the theory of liability it chose, that while he committed that criminal damage to property, some part of his body was in the premises.
So explain to me how that works, because I'm having a hard time visualizing that, honestly. And I'm being sincere with you, okay?
Well, I mean,
how does that door frame get splintered and the dents get applied without Mr. West's foot actually crossing the threshold? So if I'm dense, I'm sorry.
No.
Hey, if you'd explain.
By application of force to the door, which then comes into the residence along with the trim, and that is what the witness testifies to. Just because the door enters doesn't mean his foot enters. And I think what's key here too is that, again, the foot returns outside of the premises. If there were force such that there's no reasonable inference that his foot didn't enter the building, I think that looks like him falling sort of with the door, right, into the residence.
Well, that's your speculation. There's no expert testimony from a physics expert on momentum and force, right? That's your argument.
No, but that's an example of, I think, what the proof might have looked like. It could also come in the form of a question to DT. When he kicked down the door, did you see his body? Where was his body? Where was he standing? Tell me about that. You know, all of those types of things that the state could have done in this case to perhaps elicit the evidence that's lacking.
Not when she's behind the door. I mean, how is she going to see the moment of impact when the door is closed and she's behind the door?
She testified to what she saw, which was that the door came in and pieces of the trim came in, and she reacted accordingly by stepping back out of the way. So I don't think there's any question that she saw whatever happened. The problem is that the record lacks evidence of where his body was when that happened, and that's what the state was required to prove.
Is there anything else? All right. And thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Thanks to both the lawyers in this case. The matter was well briefed and well argued. We very much appreciate hearing from you today. It helps us in our consideration. So this matter is now submitted to the court for its decision, and we will issue a written decision within the statutory time frame. So again, welcome to our visitors. We very much appreciate having you in the courtroom today. The court will now be in recess.
All rise.